Hallelujah. Thank you for your sweet presence, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, isn't he wonderful? We're still on Revelation chapter 22. If we could turn there, please. This will be the third service that I'm opening up with the very same verses. I just feel must be something we're not catching yet, because I just keep pulling back to the very same place again. So it's not for lack of material, I just keep feeling pulled to go back, and so I'm going back. Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 varieties of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence in spirit. We thank you for your presence in word. And God, may we enter into that realm with you, seated in heavenly places, as the Apostle Paul told us in the book of Ephesians, seated in that place that only the believers can be, Lord. And so here we are now in that place. We're asking, Lord, from the throne of God, speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As I study this, and as you've noticed, each time we've gone back into the Old Testament, especially Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and we see promises to Israel there about her restoration, and we know that there's a natural spiritual counterpart. And so I kind of want us to zero in our thinking that as God turns to Israel and starts to pull her toward the millennial kingdom, and then, of course, eventually the new heaven and the new earth, that the promises to her natural are the promises to us spiritual. And so we are entering into something now by the word of God for ourselves, spiritual, that they move toward into a millennial reign. They will have a natural reign. We're ruling and reigning with Christ in the millennium. It will be natural. It won't be all spiritual. But yet, we're being given an authority to move into a kingdom now. Amen. And that as the royal seed of Abraham, we have the promises of everything that was to the seed, which is Christ. And if you be Christ, then all these promises are yours also. So we've gone over it, and we've gone over it, and I want to go over it again. Amen. And so I just want us to kind of take our time. First of all, I want to set the pace by the natural spiritual comparisons that are always kind of a refresher, a reminder. Little old world map. And the world, of course, is shrinking continually. Now, we're going to take just this part of the world right here and enlarge it now, but I want you to now visualize how much else of the world there is, first of all. Okay, now consider this humanity, or even if you wish, Christianity. But consider all of this. Now we're going to take a little element of, let's call it Christianity, a little element of Christianity, humanity, just this part, and now we'll just look at them. We're going to just kind of set the rest out of the picture for the moment. And so here now we look at that part of the world. We'll call it that part of Christianity. And out of all of this, which is only, as you saw, a very small portion of the world map, But out of all of this small portion of the map, there's still a little tiny portion called Israel. And that's the elect of God. And all that you saw on the big map, and all that you see on this map, are going to come against that little fellow right down there. And she won't be defeated. That represents election.
Amen.
I have a God who's fighting my battles for me.
Amen.
Now, here in this picture, this is Israel as they kind of divided it up when they went in back in the Old Testament. And we see the various tribes of Simeon and Judah and Ephraim and Gad and on up the line. Manasseh. Divided out. There's Manasseh over there, Asher up there, Naphtali up there. And so we see them kind of spread out here. Now, this is the Dead Sea. It's called Salt Sea here, Dead Sea. This is present-day Jordan right here. So let's now take a look at it, not in the light of what they possessed at that time, but what God has promised for them going into the millennium. And here's the picture of it. Now, it doesn't go, now here's the Dead Sea. This is present-day Jordan, Saudi Arabia, going into Iraq. And then here's the River Euphrates, which is in Iraq, present-day Iraq. Here's Kuwait, right down here. So we see what God has promised to Israel all the way over to the River Euphrates. It's theirs. They never fully possessed the land originally. But now they will possess the land. The Gentile church has never fully possessed the land. But this is her time.
Amen.
She will drive back the enemy. She will possess the land. And if I can say it, all the way to Euphrates. Every promise, every promise. Remember, Euphrates borders Eden. And to cross Euphrates means to go back to the promise, right? Back to where Adam and Eve fell from. So therefore, where we're delving in the Word, not just necessarily this book, but I just want us to hold a picture in mind. God is doing something. We're being taken back to a place where humanity long ago fell from. As we've said many times, we're not just going back to Pentecost. We're going all the way back to Eden.
Amen.
And so God, by His Word, is bringing a people by faith to a place for a body change without tasting death.
Glory.
Elijah did it.
Amen.
Right? Typing the bride of Christ. He was just taken away. Noah did it. Excuse me, not Noah. Enoch, right. And so here we've got these just a little bitty speck in the Bible of those who had that kind of walk with God.
Right.
But here comes a whole generation of elect. Not many in the whole world. Remember how Brother Branham says, out of all humanity, he says, the elect, he says, perhaps a tithe of the people. And then to think that we have been called by grace to the message that is calling out the tithe of the people. So where are the guns of hell aimed? Just like they're aimed at Israel. Every nation finds some reason why they shouldn't make those settlements, they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do that. If we had a group of people inside the borders of the United States giving our government and our people the havoc that the, quote, Palestinians are inside the borders of Israel, I think we would be hesitant to listen to some other nation telling us, oh, compromise and give them the land. When you know that if you give them that, they're only going to want more. Because it's almost like representing the devil. You know, you can just say, well, I'll just compromise a little bit. That's fine. Go ahead. Then he's going to want more.
See?
It's either all Christianity or no Christianity. You know, we just throw ourselves pell-mell right into it. And then God's got a promise. He started it. He'll finish it. And if we get into the proper scriptures tonight, we'll see how God has said, I'm doing this. And I'm doing it for my glory.
Amen.
Not because you're mighty, not because you're many, but for my glory, I'm going to do this.
Amen.
And so, to quote the prophet, he said, it will not be the preparedness of the bride that will put her in the rapture. It will be the grace of God.
Amen.
So then, therefore, once that begins to settle in, I should think we should be able to just sing praises and be happy in our heart all day long and get rid of this legal attitude. Oh, I've got to overcome this. I've got to stop that. Or, oh, I'm not going to make it if I only can. You're not going to make it anyway, trying, really.
Amen.
Trying yourself. You won't make it. We must enter into rest that he who made the promise will finish it.
Amen.
Israel could not make it because they kept trying to do it under the law, legal way, and the skies of Israel black with the smoke of sacrifices because they just, no man can live the word. It has to be the word in you living itself out. I couldn't tell you how many people I've run across just recently. And it's refreshed it in my mind. And their testimony has been, I see something in the Word, and I realize I'm not like that, and they've reached the point where they finally say, God, make me like that, instead of trying to self-conform. Because you can't do it. Got a habit in your life that you can't shake? Change me, Lord. The more you struggle, the tougher it's going to be. Got habits you want to form in your life. I think we all probably have some of those, see?
Amen.
That we want to form certain habits. That God, put it in me. Put it in me. It's not there, Lord. I want it there.
Amen.
Submit yourself to the potter.
Amen.
And let him bring it to pass in your life. And as much as we are exposed to the Word of God, to the message of the hour, to thus saith the Lord, we got no reason for not seeing our shortcomings. And we shouldn't be resting in them, and when they flare up and you excuse it, well, I'm just human. Yeah, but we're sons and daughters of God, too. There's a superhuman, supernatural element laying within us. God must bring it to pass in us. Must bring it to pass. Brothers, I'd like you to ask, turn off the video and turn off the tape recorder, if you just would, for just a minute. I want to talk to the people. Tested by the word. Remember when Brother Branham preached proving his word? And he took it not only that God is proving that the Bible is true, but you also are his word. Your written epistles, read of all men, your living, walking, breathing word. So as this has to be proven, you have to be proven. And so how do you prove your word? By staying with the word. That's the way you prove your word. So then, therefore, when we hit these trials, we may get off the path a while, but because there's a seed inside of predestination, God can pull it right back to the path again. The non-elect will just head off and just keep right on going. But God's grace, the great shepherd, he brings them back into the fold again. But what if you've been out a little ways and brought back in? My, how you appreciate the shepherd. Because you know if you'd have been left on your own intellect, you'd have stayed out there in the wilderness. And never known you were out there except there's something wrong, you know. But, oh, God's grace. So now, see here, we have little short spans of out and back in and out and back in. But here's Israel for how long now? My, almost 2,000 years. With nothing but written promises and then persecution. Kicking them around, booting them around, and still a little elect group hanging on. But God said. Well, of course, Christianity was kind of that way for a long period of time until the Pentecostal revival in this century. They'd gone a long time without very much manifestation of God. But then the Pentecostal revival and the divine healing that began to flow in, for America I'm speaking about now, began to show them God's still alive. Because the whole thing had drifted to a cold, formal kind of worship. God's grace. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. All right, let's do some references again. Psalms 46. Starting at verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. I'm sure we're reading about the same river. Psalms 46, 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. So it's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out from the throne of God and of the Lamb. At the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. So it isn't God that's the unmovable, it's God is in the midst of her, therefore she will not be moved. But notice, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, God is in the midst of her, just like in the midst of 7 golden candlesticks. She shall not be moved, God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariots in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Stream. It's going to make the city of God glad. Come, behold the city. And I saw her coming down like a bride adorned for heaven. Amen. A pure, crystal clear stream flowing in her midst. Ezekiel 47, starting at verse 1. This we've read before, but I want to go over it again. Ezekiel 47. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looked eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And then this is where he's brought down to the river and says, cross it ankle deep, cross it knee deep, cross it thigh deep, cross it. He had to swim in it. It just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper. But it's the water of life, see. It's that same water, it's the same water we're reading about. Verse 7. We're in Ezekiel 47, verse 7. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Now, if you'll remember, in Book of Revelation, verse 2, it says, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruit. But here it's describing the river, and it says very many trees on the one side and on the other. Tree of life. When Brother Branham preached the restoration of the bride's tree, he began to cry out, she is him. So it's him in her, so there's many trees, but it's him. Verse 8, then said he unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Now remember, it's a river of water of life. Now, placing this in time concept all the way where we're going to, man has polluted and polluted and polluted and polluted, but God is going to send forth a water that will heal. Are we staying together on that? So therefore, if in the ocean now the fish are dying, the fish have got this, and the abalone's got that, and the clams have got that, the mercury deposits and this deposit, and all that potential death laying in there, here comes a stream that's going to heal. Now, I won't go into the geography of this thing, but it appears from the picture that when the seas are done away with, that Israel still may have a Mediterranean or something similar right near it appears, but the masses of the sea will be done away. Verse 9. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live. So it's that water of life. If you think about Brother Branham preaching on Stature of a Perfect Man and also on, what was the one he preached that night after Stature of a Perfect Man? Was that the one? I can't remember if that's, my mind's blank on it. But anyway, the two of them, he tied the two back and forth together. And he kept referring back to the Stature of a Perfect Man. And that's when he began to tell the sister's dream and how that the man with the strong arms and rolled up his sleeves and he was dipping water out of this, into this rock box. He said, the rock confession of your revelation. And he said it was boiling all the trash out of it. And he says, and then the water came on down the hill. But as the water was coming down, it would move the trash, but it never became dirty. See? And that's that water of life. It may push the trash away, it may carry it away as it does in our own life, but the water itself never gets dirty. It remains a water of life. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. So it's the water that's healed, and when the river of life comes into the water is healed, and thus the fish are healed. And everything shall live where the waters, where the river cometh. Now, when we think that these trees can very well represent the tree of life and then the restoration of the bride tree to go back, the two trees, the bride tree and the groom tree, go back and become one as Adam and Eve got separated by a fall from the Word and now come back as one. Are we staying together on that thought? The church separated away from Christ, coming back to Christ who is life. And then this water coming forth, and wherever this water comes, this water is the Word of God on a spiritual level. It is the pure Word of God, and wherever the water flows, it heals, and here's a bride living on either side of this stream. So her roots are right into it. She is just pulling life. Verse 10, and it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto In Eglim, they shall be a place to spread forth their nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. Jeff and I have been in at En Gedi, gone up back up in the crevice of the rock there, back in there, where that big, great, big stream flowing back on up there. There's a big cave right behind this big spring coming out of the mountain, and they said that's where David went and hid from Saul. And it comes on down, 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 and finally flows into the Dead Sea. Verse 11. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. Now, of course, salt is a good thing. So it isn't like this is, oh, how terrible. Even going, like the prophet says, even in the millennium, he says, they'll be offering animal sacrifice as a reminder of the price that was already paid. Not pointing forward to it like in the Old Testament, but pointing back to it. And of course, the sacrifices and offering have to be salted. And by the river upon the bank thereof, and on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat. Now let's pause there. All trees for meat. And we found that the on either side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruit. So now here it's saying in a different words, shall grow all trees for meat, 12 manner of fruit, whose leaf shall not fade. Why? It's anchored in life. Neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months. The New Testament said bearing 12 manner of fruit, yielding her fruit monthly, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Now just see that, you watch how Scripture interprets Scripture. That ends up, and the leaf thereof shall be for medicine. But if you think of a people who are over at this place, who's going to be sick? You think, well, what do we need medicine for? And then the New Testament interprets it. It says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Not people, nations. No more wars between the nations. Okay, let me see now. I wanted to go that far to 11. Now, verse 2 back in Revelation 22, I'll just read it to you. And in the midst of the street of it, and it's called, in many versions, it's called the Broadway. In the midst of the Broadway, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life. We read that in Ezekiel 47:7, same thing. Now, in 12 manner fruit, yielding her fruit, back in Ezekiel, back to chapter 34. I want you to see how God has taken a little promise and just amplified it as he brings them on up toward the end of time there. Ezekiel 34, 26 and 27. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. We haven't saying that in a long time. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. I will raise up from them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I am the Lord their God, that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord, and ye are my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. So here's God looking at humanity, men, as flock of his pasture, and he's a shepherd. And here we are with sheep trying to find our own way. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. I mean, look at all the effort a shepherd, a genuine shepherd, goes through. And I'm not talking about even a pastor. I'm talking about a shepherd of genuine sheep now. Just how much trouble he goes through to place him in the right paddock at the right time. If it gets a little muddy, he moves him over to another paddock. And then and if they start going away, he sends out these little sheepdogs, the evangelists, to bring them back in again, you know, and keep everybody in the fold. And the whole thing, that just everything is just God watching over his children. But there's something wrong, see, when the sheep are trembling and shaking. Oh, is the shepherd going to take care of us? Are we going to be watched over? What if I stray? What if? For a normal sheep, doesn't work that way. Long as he can just kind of look up and know there's a shepherd around somewhere, all is at rest. They get a little flighty sometimes when he's not around, but when he's there, and our shepherd has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. On over to chapter 36, verse 30. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Hold that thought now. God says in verse 30, I will multiply the fruit of the tree. He's bringing them through a process, and then here comes abundance, abundance. And he says, and then you're going to look back, and I'll just put it simple, and say, man, and I was worried. Man, and I carried all that burden, and he was wanting to carry it. And I was all concerned, and he told me, cast my cares on him. I wasn't resting, and he said, rest. Why? Because he's going to take care of Israel and us so well that one day your eyes come and say, man, he's taken care of me from beginning to end, and I've been concerned. He's hedged me in. He's watched after me. He's taken care of me. Okay, now let's back up so you'll see the setting of that, because it's the scriptures that we have read dozens of times. Ezekiel 36 now. Back up to 21. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen. Now, heathen, keep it in mind, that doesn't mean idol worshiper. It's merely unbelievers in the sense that they're not Jewish. That's all. Among the heathen or the nations. It doesn't have anything to do with idol worshipers. It's just other than Jewish. Among the heathen, whether they went, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the heathen where you went. Now you remember, the scripture teaches us we take his name in baptism. Baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We take his name in baptism. He sent a word out to get a people from among the Gentiles for his name's sake. And so now for his name's sake, he says, I'm not going to let you fall to the ground. My name's involved here. If it's only your name, that's one thing, but my name's involved. I'm not going to let my name fall to the ground. So therefore, not for your sakes am I doing this. I want to keep a good reputation myself. Verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathens, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, Jehovah, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. And I will take you from among the heathen, get you all out from among the believers, gather you out of all countries, take you out of all the denominational systems, will bring you into your own land, back to the word again. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, wash you by the water of the word, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you, wash from the filth of those prostitute systems that fornicate the word. 26. A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Notice, he does not say, I'm going to stand with a whip over you and demand that you shape up. No, he says, I'm going to call you out. I'm going to wash you by the water of the word. I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to cause you to live the word. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now that's promise, not command, that's promise. You shall keep my judgments and do it. Thank you for the promise, Lord. Yes, and you shall dwell in the land. See, Israel, the natural land of Israel, for the Gentile bride, back to the gospel Paul preached. And that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness. I will. I will call for the corn and increase it and lay no famine upon you. Back to the original grain. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of the famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings, and that you were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded of your ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, and he goes on. So now here we're well into this process of being called out of the systems of man, being brought into the presence of the word, a change of heart, being washed by the water of the word, putting my spirit into you. We're well into that process, but we're still a little concerned. Boy, I think there's going to be a big crash. I wonder about this. I wonder about that. Oh, I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about that. And God says, peace, peace, peace. Rest. I've taken care of you this far. Won't I take care of you the rest of the way? So there's a world calamity. Big deal. You know what I mean? Just rest. All right. God trying to get us to that place where we can just rest with our roots in the river of life and bear fruit. Just bear fruit. Amen. Resting. I haven't seen a worried peach tree. I haven't seen a worried apple tree. Not a one. Amos 9:13. In the Scofield Bible, I'm going to read verse 13, and right above verse 13, Scofield has a little header. He says, full kingdom blessing of restored Israel. Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. Isn't that what they're doing? And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land. And they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord God. Now, I want you to, in your mind, keep shifting the promises back. That's our promise too. We're being turned back to the faith of our fathers by thus saith the Lord. We're being pulled back to a promise of not just restoration, like I said, to Pentecost, but all the way back to Eden. I will restore, saith the Lord, where you fell from. I'm bringing you back, and I will plant them in their land. God's doing it. God's doing it. Now, I'm saying this not only for God's glory, because for that's what he says. This, it's not for your sake, it's for mine. I'm going to glorify my name in it. I'm going to be sanctified in the nations. I'm going to be sanctified among the denominations when they see what God is doing among a people who stay with the Word. But remember, the secret of the supernatural is relax. Relax. And then the word rest, I heard one of you say that. No, he says, what is the single outstanding sign of maturity? He said, rest. He said, when you're maturing in the Lord, you're resting in the Lord. To have the supernatural working through you, relax, because it's God that does it. Remember how Brother Branham would often say, he says, now I've got a little gear I kind of shift myself over into. He says, I just got to relax myself. And then here came God on the scene. Yielding her fruit monthly. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Isaiah 60. We read it last time. I want to read it again. Isaiah 60. Verse 14. Isaiah 60, verse 14. The sons of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, the joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of the kings. Thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, and the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, for iron I will bring silver, for wood, brass, and for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to read more, but I want to pause right there. To me, what this is saying in this city called the bride, we should reach a place where there's no more contention, no more bad feelings toward each other, no more did you hear about so-and-so kind of thing. We ought to just get all that nonsense out of our midst and should be dwelling at peace, the city where God dwells. And the Holy Spirit will not dwell in the midst of bitterness, will not dwell in the midst of contention. The Holy Ghost will just take its flight. Now, I'm not saying this in any form of rebuke. I am thoroughly rejoicing in what God is doing in our little group of believers here. Just thoroughly rejoicing, because I feel that overall there's a wonderful growth going in the whole body here and a unity that is just wonderful. And I got no complaint, but we're not there yet. So we watchmen, we wave the warning flags. Don't let something creep in. You get a little funny feeling one toward another. Squelch that thing. That doesn't mean just eat it. If you have to, go talk to the person that I got something that kind of comes on me when I get around you, And I want to talk this thing out. Is it true that, or do you feel that? And let's face these things and get them out of the way. But use all the wisdom and sweetness that you can, or you'll end up creating a problem where there was no problem. Verse 18, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy wall salvation and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. And thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself. For the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. You notice all the way through here, the theme is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. That was the promise to Abraham. I will, I will, I will. And as the seed of Abraham, we have to rest on that. Zechariah, that's the next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah, just in front of Malachi. Verse 14. Excuse me, I'm sorry, chapter 14, which is the last book in Zechariah. And starting at verse 16. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm giving you a little something. Now, man has been resting in the grace of God. I'll leave it at that. You'll understand in a moment. Resting in the grace of God and allowing the blood to cover certain things, which is fine. And we have been in an era called man's day, where God has allowed man to rule the church, and I'll overlook it for right now. And man has done a lot of this and a lot of that, and God has kind of led it because it was the season, but we're moving into the Lord's Day, the day of God. And so the Lord's Day is judgment. The day of God is moving into where God fully takes it into his own grasp, beginning with judgment. But what we find is that when we move into this era where God is pulling everything into his own grasp, and we move into the era that's coming ahead, he's going to lay the line down, and people are going to have to toe it. But it's not going to be something they can't do. God doesn't do that to a people. But he just lays down, here's what I want you to do, do it. Then he tells them, that's it. Now they don't do it. Now we're going to read when they don't do it, what happens. Zechariah 14, 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not up, they that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So first warning, they don't go up to this Feast of Tabernacles, no rain. Next time comes around, they still don't go to the Feast of Tabernacles, the plague. And it sounds like it's the plague over in verse 12, but I'm not sure. Verse 19. Now this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. First rain and then the plague. 20. In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein boiling meat. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. So God getting everything back. It's his day. It's his kingdom. It's his people. And he's going to work it out. And it's for his glory. And we by grace happen to be included in the plan. Praise God. I'm going to stop for tonight. We'll pick it up. I'll try to not go back over the same verses again this next time, but we did get a little more out of it this time, didn't we? Yeah, we sure did. Yeah. Praise be to God. I'll take some musicians up here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Number 162 in your blue book. How great is our God? And it shows a G, sisters. How great is our God? How great